Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news, Larson. That's right, man. Right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson, and anywhere fine podcasts are available. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, and you know, it helps boost the profile of the show, be it on YouTube or on, hey, man, if you're on YouTube watching this, there's a good chance you've been unsubscribed because YouTube has a tendency of doing that.
They do that.
If you haven't subscribed yet on the iOS podcast app, what are you waiting for? Because that helps jack us up in the sports and rec category there, Larson.
Correct. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have contribution tiers ranging from $1 to $50.
Correct, Amundo.
All with outstanding rewards attached.
Ooh, I like that word. Outstanding. That's a $1 million word.
Is it?
No, it's a normal word.
It is a normal word.
We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you guys can select one or several of seven fine design. I'm going to start on a weekly basis. Every week, new design, new design, new design. Every week.
So you want to challenge the
Daily
Young Bucks.
New designs.
Because the Young Bucks have, what, 90 designs?
Well, and they seem to sell a lot.
They do.
We're equally as popular as they are.
Not true at all.
Probably not at all.
Not even close.
No way. Anyways, like I said, we talk about pro wrestling news right here. And as everybody in the Dirt Sheet world relies on Wrestling Observer, which has not come out yet, for their news, we're just going right ahead. We don't care. We're the new Wrestling Observer. We're the new wrestling dirt sheet moguls, Larson.
No.
No way?
No.
All right. Well, you have a couple things that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
First up, now this is it's very specific to us, I think. Although it has lit the pro wrestling fan base ablaze.
Well, yeah, I've seen stories about this story on other wrestling news outlets.
Right. However, it is especially apropos here on Going In Raw because we received a question on, I believe, the Raw Cap episode.
Yes.
Or the Raw Recap episode, where somebody asked, how do you guys feel about wrestlers on social media
breaking kayfabe?
Breaking kayfabe.
And you literally gave the example of Braun and Roman Reigns taking a picture together somewhere. The very next day, that scenario happened, on Wednesday, I believe it was. Of course, Raw and SmackDown, they're on an overseas tour right now. And Titus O'Neil posted a picture of himself, Matt Hardy, Curtis Axel, Heath Slater, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
All standing at the Coliseum in Rome.
Yeah.
All together.
Yeah.
There's another picture that surfaced of Roman and Braun together as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the source of that one, though.
I don't know. And that's, I don't think that was taken by that. I think that was taken by like a regular person.
Yeah.
Because they were next to each other, but they were kind of facing away from the camera.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were.
It wasn't a posed picture.
It wasn't like that would have been really weird if it was literally just them like doing exactly what I had said would possibly ruin it for me.
Well, yeah, especially when you consider Sunday, just a matter of a couple days earlier, you know, they had beat each other up to such an extent that Roman Reigns was suffering internal injuries, rib injuries.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman had a torn rotator cuff.
Right.
So during a conversation on the Raw Recap, you mentioned that this particular scenario might be a scenario that would bother you where they would break kayfabe on social media because literally just 2 or 3 days ago, they beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
And now they're sightseeing together.
Yeah.
Do you still feel the same way?
No, it doesn't bug me. I mean, honestly, like, you know, hey, proof is in the pudding. I saw the picture. I got a chuckle out of it. And it doesn't bug me. There was another one of Alexa Bliss hopping onto Nia Jax's back. They're all buddy-buddy.
Mojo put one up this morning, I think, Thursday morning, of himself on a plane. On one side of him was Natalya. On the other side was Charlotte.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Of course, Charlotte and Natalya are feuding now.
Yeah.
And here they are sitting in the same row of an airplane.
Yeah. Now, one friendo mentioned, they said, well, you know, Thor and Loki, they're on the red carpet together.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference there.
There is. Because I had thought of a similar analogy where wrestling is, as far as I know, the only storytelling medium where we, or at least some people, demand that the participants in the performance extend that into their everyday lives. We don't ask that of actors who do movies or TV or anything. And granted, I know wrestling at one point was presented as a whole as real.
Right.
That these people really hate each other. These people are really fighting each other. These people are really making each other bleed. That doesn't really exist anymore.
Right.
So it's not a perfect analogy, but I understand it.
Yeah, me too. And in fact, when people ask us, you know, what's, you know, a general question, what's the appeal of wrestling? Or when I'm thrown, you know, oh, wrestling's fake. My response is, well, yeah, so is any TV show that you see, you know, when you pop on Breaking Bad. That's not real. It's not actually happening. And in that respect, the whole Thor Loki on the red carpet thing totally makes sense. It is a little bit different because, you know, they're playing costume dress up. And in, even like, you know, Bryan Cranston and, you know, the guy who played oh man,
Aaron Paul,
the big the big drug dealer guy. I forget who it was. You know, if they're, you know, you see them at the Emmys or whatever, palling around, that's great. Because WWE is such a, because pro wrestling is such a unique thing, a form of entertainment where, like you said, the lines were once blurred, and they are very quickly becoming unblurred over the past, you know, especially with this new crop of kids that are basically in here. And, you know, they don't care about that stuff, you know. And the WWE, I would think, it's funny because I'm curious to know if, you know, so Titus put this picture up.
Yes.
And quickly took it down.
Yes.
But, you know, in that moment, it was enough for it to get out there.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if... So the WWE has made a very, very strong point of saying this is a performance. Do not do this at home. These are performers.
And on the replays of Attitude Era stuff, I think on the network, they go further and say these are characters who are...
Right, right.
Or these are people portraying characters who might not...
Oh, well, you know...
the disclaimers and stuff like that.
Those go in front of the Benoit episodes.
Oh.
Or anybody that, any episode that I think somebody's done, but I remember that was specifically for the Benoit episodes.
Yeah. But anyway, the disclaimer makes it clear that these are people.
So that makes
performing,
me wonder,
portraying characters.
That makes me wonder if Titus is going to be punished for this.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
If WWE is really concerned about maintaining that level of kayfabe, then they need to go to the performers who are engaged in active feuds and say to them...
Stay away.
Yes. So if this is an issue for WWE, they need to relate that to the talents, and then it's up to the talents, I think, to follow through on that. If WWE would have a problem with Roman and Braun taking pictures together on social media, they need to tell them that, and then they need to follow that.
They need to know.
And if it's not an issue for WWE, whether that's just because they haven't communicated... you know, their wishes to talent, or they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole separate other thing. But I mean, if it is an issue for WWE, then it's up, in my estimation, it's up to Braun and Roman to make sure they are not seen in photographs together.
I think I found a new line that I don't want them to cross.
What?
Is interacting with each other on social media, like how I'll tweet at you randomly, like a pair of shoes that I like.
Yeah.
If Braun and Roman are winky, winky, jokey, jokey on Twitter,
yeah.
I think that's a line that I don't want to see cross now. I mean, look.
I can see that because that's still a public forum, which wrestlers have used in storylines and
character. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. Like, I saw the picture and I chuckled because of the coincidence of us talking about
yeah.
it, mainly. But, I mean, even seeing it didn't, like, offend my sensibilities. And I'm not saying that stuff is going to offend my sensibilities. I think, like, another line for me would be, and when I said the, yeah, palling around like that, that was a little bit different than, oh, these guys are out there sightseeing. They get to have some fun. That actually gave me, it was a bit heartwarming mm-hmm. to see, oh, look, they're doing some touristy stuff. That's cute. If it was another line, I guess, that I probably wouldn't want to see cross just because it... is if they are, and this kind of relates to the Thor Loki on the red carpet thing, is if they're in character doing it. For example, if Roman Reigns is backstage all bloodied up and stuff, and Braun, and they take like a selfie of Braun going
yeah.
like that, yeah. and they're sort of making light of their performance. That's kind of my thing too, is that if you're making light of the performance you
yeah.
gave, I think like, I'm running through it in my brain because we've got like evidence of, okay, well, Steve, here it is. Are you bugged now? No, I'm not, but I'm trying to think of what would bug me, and that's it, because if you're disrespecting the performance in that manner,
yeah.
or I feel that would be disrespectful of the performance.
Yeah.
And in that case, I'd probably be like, I don't really. If there's like a candid behind the scenes picture, like we've got on WWE 24, you know, when it's backstage.
And Lesnar goes up to Undertaker and goes, you know, go get him the year after that. That's Lesnar completely beat him at WrestleMania.
If I saw a candid picture of Braun checking in on Roman after he thinks he might have been hurt, I would actually appreciate that because it's like, okay, these are two performers who are. It's nice to see that they're in each other's corners trying to make a good performance.
Cass got concussed.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Went to the hospital checking on him.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about because I understand this is a performance first, and it's a very physical one. And if they get hurt, it's always heartwarming to know, man. Even going back to Rock Mankind. When Mankind was kind of put off that The Rock didn't like apologize or go to the hospital or whatever his problem was
after their I Quit match.
Yeah, I would have been a lot more cool. I would have been like, oh, that's really nice if The Rock had done what Mick Foley would have liked. I think the original discussion we had about this had to do with kayfabe injuries versus like showing up in real life. And, I mean, again, I see this picture. It's like it's obvious that Roman Reigns isn't suffering from the after effects of internal injuries.
Yeah.
And Braun looks okay. So, you know, again, I'm fine with it.
Because
you know,
even
my delicate sensibilities are not injured.
I know. Well, even, you know, Braun Strowman, according to Kurt Angle, had torn rotator cuff. That's an injury. I mean, that's similar to the injury Finn Balor had.
Mm-hmm, right.
Not the same, but similar.
Right.
That kept him out of action for 8 months.
Yeah.
And yet, Braun is already wrestling again at house shows.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in Europe.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not hurt.
Right.
And
then, but yeah, I mean, if you look, like, I was on like, Charlotte's Instagram feed especially. Like, she takes pictures with whoever is there whenever she wants. And, you know, even when we interviewed her at SummerSlam, she literally, like, to break the ice, she said, I'm not like my character is. And that made things a lot more comfortable. And we were able to interview her without, like, you know,
feeling really awkward.
Feeling like we were having a stroke.
Yeah.
You mentioned here in the notes here, Mojo posted a picture today.
Yeah, I mentioned that a little bit ago.
Yeah, with the head of the welcoming committee, Natalia and Charlotte together.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, also had some leaked pictures. We're not really going to talk about that because there's nothing really. When we talked about the Paige leaked pictures, there was a question as to how it could affect her standing with the WWE, given that she had seemed to be on the outs. Xavier Woods was sort of in the picture. The NXT title was sort of, you know, there were some things going on there. Charlotte, you know, it's just a bummer.
Yeah, it really is.
So we're not really going to talk about that. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, kayfabe, is it over? I think. Well, let me ask you something. Like, this is sort of who's. Why do you think wrestlers feel free to do this? To post pictures on social media? Because I made the point yesterday, when we were driving, of saying, you know. I would sort of be the Titus in this situation. I would be the one who would post the picture, and then you would say, hey, you probably want to take that down. They might not be cool with, you know, Roman and Braun. Oh, crap, yeah. Because you're a stickler for that kind of stuff. That's why we work well together, because I'm not. But, it, you know, Titus put it up. Obviously, he felt either personally, oh, crap, I shouldn't do this.
Or felt external pressure to take it down.
Or felt some sort of external pressure. From what I understand, it was very fast. So I would think that maybe somebody, I mean, people get things instantly. They see things instantly. So maybe it could have been external pressure. But I am curious. It would be an interesting question to ask the wrestlers anyways. Is there an actual policy on social media use as it pertains to kayfabe?
That would be an interesting question.
Yeah.
I mean, by and large, it seems no.
Right. The thing about Kevin Owens also is that he wasn't the one who gave.
I know, but it was still a heel.
Yeah.
You know, visiting a face in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like they were actively engaged in a feud.
Right.
But, you know, in 30 years ago, if they were social media.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Never would have happened.
No way.
No.
Man, it does make me wonder, though. I mean, like, we don't have a frame of reference beyond watching, like, you know, WCCW in the late 70s, early 80s. But I wonder, you know, because I literally asked my dad this the other day, because he used to go to matches. Mm-hmm. You know, he's told us about that. And I said, and I asked him again, I said, do you think it was real or fake? He was like, everybody knew it was fake. Like, it was obvious. And I was like, in the South, I know a lot of those people thought that was real. And in fact, if you even look at the way they fought, I could kind of see why they would think that if, you know, they weren't paying too close attention. They just think they're going to see a couple of hosses lumber about each other. But I just wonder if the style of fighting still felt real, if we felt it was real, how different would the experience be? We have no frame of reference, so it's hard to say.
No.
I mean, I guess it would be akin to like a UFC match, maybe, but with more colorful characters.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyways, moving on. A lot of people asking us if we are going to cover the latest round of New Japan shows that happened this past week.
Yeah, we ended up being too busy with the pay-per-view on Sunday, Raw on Monday, some other things. Timing didn't work out. So the answer is, sadly, no. We'll catch up on that stuff. In preparation for Dominion, June 11th, which is going to be a huge show because following the events of the last New Japan show, which I guess was on Wednesday morning, sorry, for us, it appears that we are going to get our Okada Omega rematch at Dominion.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
Is Dominion essentially their SummerSlam?
SummerSlam? Yeah,
that's my understanding. What am I to understand? Okay. Yeah.
So I guess what happened at the end of the last New Japan show was Okada defeated Bad Luck Fale to retain the title.
Spoiler alert.
There's your recap. Kenny Omega.
I'm probably going to watch him like this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to try to as well. Kenny Omega comes out to help his Bullet Club stablemate exit the ring, go backstage or something, and then Okada just called out Omega.
Yeah.
And said, let's do the rematch.
Yeah.
And now it's official.
I like that booking. There's nothing beyond like, hey, you. Let's do that again in June. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure thing, buddy.
But anyway, I guess
it's... And then later there's like a selfie of them hanging out.
But you know, they've been doing the storyline, it seems like, for the first half of this year, where Okada in every one of his title defenses gets beat up for, you know, a long time.
I wonder what the social media protocol is for New Japan. I never really see those guys doing this. I think it's like an American millennial thing. Like, you know, it's like, you know, these damn kids are going to be, you know, like, they're so horny to post selfies anyways. Might as well just let them do it. Idiots.
Well, on New Japan's, at least the English language version of the website, they have a social section that has Instagram posts from
wrestlers. Oh, that's right. New Japan itself. Yeah. That's cool. That's going to be fun. And, you know, of course, this is less than that. That would be less than a month away from the Long Beach shows, the G1 special events in Long Beach, which we're going to be attending. That's a lot of fun.
Yes.
And so good chance we're going to see Ken. I mean, hey, you know, we were sort of a little bit torn on this. I felt that they didn't need the belt on Omega when they came to America because he's such a unique animal unto himself. It might be beneficial to split, you know, he doesn't have the belt, but Okada does, and Okada doesn't. From what I understand, I don't think he speaks the language. And so, I don't know. And so having the belt on him, it's like, okay, cool. This dude is the champion, so I can grasp onto something there. And then Omega, he can speak the language. So, you know, obviously he's, you know, something that I can grasp onto there. But I don't know. It seems like we might get Kenny Omega coming into the United States as IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
It seems possible.
Putting all their chips on the dude.
I also believe that at the conclusion of the previous show, the one that was on Sunday morning, that Naito retained the Intercontinental title, and then I believe Tanahashi challenged him.
Yes, correct.
So that seems like that could be a program at least for Dominion, if not for the U.S. shows as well, because all four of those wrestlers, those men, have been announced to take part in those two shows.
Let me ask you something. Is there the possibility that they're going to have Omega be a transitional champion and have Okada take the belt back from him in Long Beach? Knowing the kind of match these guys can put on, and totally understanding that Omega can and Okada can put on amazing matches with a lot of the roster there.
Well, I had a couple thoughts. In terms of storytelling, it would make a certain amount of sense if Okada wins at... or he won at Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny gets the belt off Okada at some point this summer, whether it's Dominion or maybe they do it at Long Beach. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Okada gets the belt back at Wrestle Kingdom early next year.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we know Kenny signed a 1-year deal with New Japan.
Yeah.
So if he has any designs on going WWE, You know, obviously he's not going to WWE as the IWGP champion.
Maybe. Maybe not. They mentioned Ring of Honor on NXT.
So they're going to bring in the IWGP heavyweight champion?
Sure.
Probably
why
not.
Why not?
So that seems like a plausible scenario. I mean, I suppose they could have Kenny win at Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have the rematch here in the States. But I don't know. That'd be, what, a three-week reign for Kenny if he were just to hold it for that little bit of time?
Yeah, I know. That would be kind of ridiculous. I don't think that's going to happen at all.
No, I would doubt it. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Okada loses at some point this summer and then has to go and win the G1 to get his title shot at Wrestle Kingdom and then have him win it.
Yep.
That'd be pretty huge.
Yep. But then again, who knows? You never know. It's hard to read New Japan sometimes.
Yeah.
We're still figuring it out, man. It's been less than a year.
Hasn't
even been 6 months yet, exactly. So we're like sitting here with our expert. Well, I think here's what I think, and then it's none of it happened.
We both thought that Kenny was going to win the New Japan Cup. Didn't happen.
Here we go.
Eliminated first round.
Well, very surprising.
But like, here is his match against Ishii.
It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah. I know. I'm kind of anxious to watch and see if there's any noticeable difference in style. They've toned down the strong stuff since Shibata's been gone. I'm really interested to see if there's any pivot towards softening a little bit.
Is there anybody else other than maybe Suzuki that works anywhere near as stiff as Shibata?
And even Suzuki works like safe strong stuff. Yeah. Like, you know.
And he won the
yeah, that's right.
The Never the Championship.
Open, yeah, the Open Just Open
awesome.
Challenge.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's funny. He poured a bunch of beer on it.
Yeah, he did. It was great.
That's the thing to do, man, when you win a title. That's what we should have done with the H titles. Pour down here.
Beer all over.
Poor Brucey. Now we got to figure out something else to do on it. I don't know.
When we make our own belt, if we make our own belt and have it defended somewhere before we do that.
Yeah.
Like literally before we do that, before we hand it to whoever's going to be the first champion, let's pour beer all over
it. I say we light it on fire and then put it out real quick.
Okay.
Might make for a cool effect.
It could.
Might make it look like crap. I don't know. All right, so we got one more piece of news here before we answer some questions. I'm hyped about this, Larson. Super hyped.
Really?
The greatest wrestling promotion in the history of the world is coming back.
Well, it never really went anywhere.
Global Force Wrestling.
You're talking about the NWA.
National Wrestling Alliance.
The NWA World Title used to be the top prize in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah, man. I can't wait till I get to repeat your snarky comment from when I was sitting right there earlier about the NWA. But we're going to
remember what I said. Okay, well,
it's hilarious.
PWInsider.com had an exclusive report Monday that Billy Corgan. The mastermind behind Smashing Pumpkins and one-time TNA Impact Wrestling president who, you know, tried to buy Impact but didn't succeed.
Melancholy.
Has agreed to purchase the NWA, and that quote, this is a quote from the PW Insider article, the deal in place would see Corgan purchase the name, rights, trademarks to the NWA, as well as the rights and possession of the NWA championship belt.
Is there any
idea? Now I remember what I said.
Yeah.
NWA president Bruce Tharp confirmed the sale later that day, Monday, on Facebook, stating, with a quote, with the capital and business acumen that Billy Corgan brings to the table, I am confident that he has the ability to take the NWA to the next level, and I have promised to do all I can to help him succeed. I ask you to join me in supporting the new NWA regime in the future.
Hold on.
What?
In the parlance of Larson, hold on. I like when you say that.
What?
Because it means I'm about to get some gold. The next level for the NWA, I would think, is like a level.
Yeah.
Like, get on the scoreboard first, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I know what funky comment you're talking about now. It's when I said something like, is Billy Corgan going to keep his 52-year-old world champion?
All right, listen here. This is the thing. We're going to have plenty of snark here. However, I am actually legitimately interested in this. I'm actually excited about this.
Because we know Billy Corgan is a serious wrestling fan who has...
Number two.
As Bruce Tharp says here...
I'm not done.
Capital. Okay, go ahead.
What do you think, Bruce? What do you think NWA President Bruce Tharp's day job is? Because it ain't NWA president.
Maybe not.
RV salesman Bruce Tharp confirmed the sale later that day on his Facebook.
We know Corgan. He has money. You know he loves wrestling.
This is great. I love this. This is better than TNA.
Yeah,
this is better than him buying TNA.
It's more or less a fresh slate.
I am fascinated with pro wrestling history.
Me too.
I want to dive neck deep into it. And the NWA is such an integral part of the history of professional wrestling. And to see how far down it's gone since WCW took off, since TNA
ECW, all
made
that,
its own thing,
since Vince bought up all the territories.
It's just gone so far down. No, honestly, no disrespect to anybody who wrestles for the NWA.
Not at all.
But if you take a look at the organization as a whole, their website presence, their TV presence or lack thereof,
yeah,
I don't know what they do.
I tried to see real quickly what territories or promotions were still aligned with NWA, and I'm having a hard time finding, you know, I searched quickly, you know, conclusive.
Yeah.
Which were, but you know, as I said, they do have a 52-year-old world champion, Tim Storm. No disrespect to him. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him. Didn't you see something where he was involved? Did you watch?
Oh no, what with the Billy Corgan thing?
No, with Tim Storm.
Oh yeah, no, I think I just watched like a match.
Okay,
because it was kind of funny. It was a 52-year-old guy who has the NWA World Championship. Wonder how long it's going to last. Maybe he'll be the next Earl Smothers.
Could be.
I think that'd be cool. Look, here's the thing: Billy Corgan instantly will bring a fresh coat of paint, which the NWA desperately needs. If you look at their website, they desperately need this. He'll bring a high profile. He will give the NWA everything. I absolutely love this.
Yeah, I do too.
Because if I had if I had Billy Corgan money, this is something that I would have done this before TNA. Maybe TNA has a lot of good talent.
I know, but they also, you know,
they got a stigma.
Yes,
totally.
Whereas NWA, granted, you know, it's been 25 years since they're in a position of real national prominence. They have the name. They have the lineage of their world title. That's ridiculously impressive.
Exactly. And to see what he'll be able to bring creatively with nobody getting his way, with no hindrance, with no, oh, you have to compromise, with none of that, I am legitimately and firmly in favor of this. I cannot wait to see what Billy Corgan does with the NWA.
Success, by and large, will be dictated, at least short term, how quickly he can get a TV deal of some
sort,
because that seems to be the litmus test for any wrestling promotion, is whether you can get yourself on TV.
Yeah.
Near as I can tell, a lot of wrestlers in Impact liked Billy Corgan. I believe Mike Bennett, who just left, was close to Corgan. Yeah. You know, we know he loves wrestling. We know that he's, you know, he's a creative individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why not?
The potential
is there for this to be really exciting, for them to do something different and fun and bring the NWA back to prominence, which would be great not only for the NWA, not only for Corgan, but for wrestling as a whole, because the more places talent can go to wrestle, the better the industry is overall.
Absolutely. No, he's got all the credibility in the world. I mean, the dude has a lot of money. He's a big, you know, he's a big name in the music industry. And we've already seen a taste of what he wanted to do.
And he wasn't that bad as an on-camera personality.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. Like, he seemed like he was really into it. So I love this. Yes, I mean, it's easy to clown because of where they are now. And we enjoy clowning. And I do anyways. It's a lot of fun. I like when you clown because it's so few and far between. I think this is great, though. I think this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And hopefully within, you know, the next few months, we'll get some more news. I don't believe Billy Corgan's commented himself about the sale. And maybe it's not final yet. Although Bruce Tharp says confirmed the sale later that day on Facebook. But anyways, maybe there's still some paperwork to sign and whatnot. And at some point, maybe Billy Corgan will comment on it. And we'll see what he has planned.
Oh, he's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
Look at that.
Bruce Tharp, you mean?
Bruce Tharp, yeah. Nice.
He likes that
This is a nice looking War Machine shirt.
That War Machine shirt. Yeah,
I'm on
cool.
his Facebook right now. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. He looks like a very, very happy individual. He's got some cool glasses. He seems like a good family man. Oh, look, there's Storm, the champ right there. Nice. He looks good. Oh, look at that. Yeah, this old bastard. Make him keep the belt on him.
Yeah, I agree.
Have him feud with Billy Corgan.
That'd be great.
I'm all in, man. Give this a fresh coat of paint.
You know, he's
look at that right there.
Yeah, he's 52, but he looks great.
He looks amazing. This is great. Heck yeah, man.
He looks legit.
I don't know those Bruce Tharp guys, but keep him involved somehow. I love it, man. We'll be We're on board, man.
All right, in 1 year's time, assuming that NWA scores a TV deal, weekly NWA recaps.
We'll do NWA.
Yay or nay?
Yay, of course, yay. We'll do that. We'll have NWA and Impact.
I'm not doing Impact.
Side by side, who did you know how like Billy?
Like Brian Zane does.
Brian Zane,
who wore it better?
Does who wore it better?
Okay, I can get into that.
There you go. See, and every week it'll be NWA wore it better.
Yeah, regardless.
Regardless,
NWA won this week.
Why? Because TNA's trash. No.
All right, you want to answer some questions?
Yeah, why not?
Ask first.
The Golden Corral Championship number 4 contender, Michael T. Easton. Longtime patron, first time question asker.
Thank you very much.
As was noted on the Raw recap, Bray Wyatt, man, seems to have been reborn again after his talk with Kurt Angle. Michael here has heard that the background of the Bray Wyatt character was something akin to the soul of Bray Wyatt once again being manifest. It got him to thinking, imagine, if you will, that the WWE decided to reintroduce Husky Harris and have him drop the Wyatt character only for the soul of Bray to transfer to another superstar, one not currently signed to the roster or having debuted on TV. Nobody in NXT. Who would you then have take up the mantle of the Eater of Worlds, and how would you book the change? I would give it to Mark Calloway. Have him be Bray Wyatt. Everybody said he should have been the new Undertaker. I say Undertaker should be the new Bray Wyatt.
I don't think Mark Calloway is going to be wrestling again anytime soon. He just, he was in New York at an orthopedist place.
I've been reborn with my new hit. Oh, it hurts now.
Here you go. Here's the correct answer.
Okay.
Roman Reigns.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's good. That's terrible. That's an awful idea.
But it could be good.
I would say, well.
Wait, no, he's in the business.
Yeah, it's got to be off the roster, man. I would say
Punishment Martinez.
That's actually a really good answer. I'm going to say Alberto Del Rio.
But how would we transition Bray away from Bray back to Husky Harris?
Have them have a match, which Alberto would win, but it doesn't matter.
Loser wins gimmick match.
Loser win. There you
no,
go.
No, sorry. Winner wins gimmick match.
Winner wins gimmick match.
Loser loses gimmick match.
Yeah. There you go. Anyways, I should have that in WGPW. Marcus the Fart Break Kid Felton.
You had something like that.
I had loser.
Because someone loser, had to change their gimmick.
Loser resigns office versus the gimmick. Office versus gimmick. Yeah, Sex Man had to change his gimmick.
Yeah.
And he just changed it to
wasn't it shitheads?
Shitheads gimmick.
Which is pretty much the same thing.
Man, look, I'm ahead of my time. You're up, this Fart Break Kid.
Marcus the Fart Break Kid Felton. What does it take to truly build stars in wrestling today, specifically the WWE? Do you eliminate 50-50 booking? Do you give the wrestlers more chances to get over? Do you let your potential new stars make more media appearances?
I agree with the first two. I'm not sure more media
appearances. No, I don't think that really matters.
That doesn't really matter.
I don't think you lessen 50-50 booking, which I guess would eliminate it, but
yeah.
I mean
40-60 booking.
If Bray Wyatt won 50% more of his matches, he'd be a massive star right now. If he won the matches that he really needed to win, if he had beat Cena at WrestleMania,
yeah.
If he had won that match,
yeah.
If he had beaten Orton at WrestleMania,
sure.
There were probably 3 or 4 matches that if Bray would have won, he would be a massive, massive, massive star right now.
How much more credibility would he have if he had like 3 title reigns under his belt?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, when he shows up on Raw, it's like, ooh, it's even more, ooh.
I know, and then if he has, you know, even just 1 really good title reign under his belt, then he can go to Angle and says, all right, I'm here to get some work done.
Yeah.
He says that with the credibility of a former champion.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
He's already won the belts. Now he's going on to larger things.
Theoretically, Kurt Angle should have been like, oh, man,
you are a transitional champion.
No, listen. Your win-loss record isn't that great,
oh,
Bray.
Yeah.
I could say that because it's terrible, man.
Yeah, it's not that great. I think there's 2 different avenues you have to take. 1 for stars that are kind of developed in-house by WWE.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, like Kevin Owens. He was on the indies so long that he had probably not a large following, but a following, a significant following, coming into NXT and then built upon that following coming up to the main roster. So like, I wasn't that familiar with his work, but I knew his name. I knew who he was.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And
so there's that path, but then there's
if
also...
If you and I had been doing this show to the degree that we're doing it now, when he was in the indies...
Oh, yeah. We'd known all about him, probably. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
More and more people are learning more and more about indie wrestlers anyway. So
you take someone like Bray or Roman Reigns, who was developed in-house.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build up those competitors' brands from scratch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's tougher, and that takes...
That is tough.
And if you really want them... If you want to launch them into the stratosphere, then you have to invest significant time
in
building them up, giving them vignettes, giving them promo time, string together some wins, or in Roman's case, win everything.
Win everything.
Pretty much. You just have to invest significant time and capital in making them legitimate competitors and giving the fans a reason to either cheer or boo them.
And plus, there's always an X factor.
Yeah.
Like, there is always that thing.
Intangibles.
And usually that manifests itself in charisma. Like, either a guy has charisma or he doesn't. I still think the jury's out on Roman Reigns, whether or not he has. You know, it's one thing to be a really, really good-looking person, which he is, and have even kind of a magnetic personality, which he kind of has.
Yeah.
But having charisma that translates through the camera, through your TV, and then, like, hits you where in the feels.
Yeah.
I think the jury's still out on Roman in that respect.
Yeah. Maybe he does have it, but we just haven't been able to see it based on the character he's being told to play.
That's a possibility as well. You look at The Rock. If you look at Rocky Maivia, it wasn't obvious at all. It was not obvious at all that he had it. Unleash the character of The Rock, and boom, it's nothing but.
Yes.
So that's a good point. The true king of Hoss, the mighty Quinn, says, new patron, first time question.
Thank you very much.
With Jericho leaving to go on tour, what current WWE superstars do you want to see join his band?
I think the most obvious answer, of course, is the Drifter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We saw a little taste of him. Oh, it was Dean Ambrose the other night. Oh, yeah, and he's on the list, though. That's going to be a problem. He needs to get off the list first.
That's a good point.
You know what happens when you audition for Fozzy?
Maybe if he opens for Fozzy and puts forth...
Oh, yeah.
Quality set after quality set.
Oh, yeah. Just strings together. Yeah.
Yeah.
New record label deal for him.
Yes.
The uninvited ghost, go ahead.
If you were tasked by Vince to turn Baron Corbin into a traditional baby face.
I'm a baby face.
Because.
Goo goo gaga.
And could only use one single episode of SmackDown Live to do so. How would you do it? Uninvited ghost has no idea what he would do. Not that you asked.
We have one episode of SmackDown Live to do.
Here's how you do it. It's simple. AJ Styles getting beaten down by Kevin Owens and somebody else. Baron Corbin comes in and makes a save. Instant face.
I'll be honest. When Kevin Owens was delivering his Face of America promo and people were booing the crap out of him because it was good heel heat, Baron Corbin came out and people started cheering.
Yeah.
Have him cut a face promo and you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, against something like that. Honestly, I think Baron is at the point where people would totally be fine. Like, I don't think anybody's antsy to cheer for him. They'd totally be fine cheering for him because he's kind of fresh. Like, talk about a homegrown talent.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Corbin, he's a heel, but it's not. He just wants to make money and he beats people up to do that. That's his motivation.
He's a very well-defined character.
Yeah. And it's not like he's just, you know, a horrible human being.
Right.
He makes his money beating people
up. And he's not a douchebag like The Miz. I mean, The Miz's character.
For example, when on Talking Smack, he got that altercation with Sami Zayn. In the heat of the moment, he pushed the ref. He didn't relish it. He realized he messed up.
That had to have been some direction.
Yes.
I'm not putting it past Baron Corbin, but it was so specific that, man, that was really good. That was awesome of whoever produced that segment. Show remorse for the ref.
Yeah.
That you're conflicted.
He's not a bastard. He's not an absolute bastard.
You can never
he's
go wrong.
He's not a nice guy, but he's not a bastard.
You can never go wrong with the appearance of conflict, internal conflict.
Yes.
Because that's automatic dimension. Doesn't matter if it's what it's about. You could have no idea what it's about. If somebody looks conflicted, they're immediately more interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the most interesting characters, villains or heroes, are the ones that have dimension to them.
Yeah, exactly. The Shit Twins advocate Alexander Currenti. He's got a video question later, but first he's got a normal question. Sami Zayn makes selling look easy. He can take any kind of move or spot and have it look devastating, which in turn makes his opponent look great. Build the greatest selling wrestler of all time by taking parts of the better sellers in history and combine them all.
Shawn Michaels is the best seller ever.
Hard to disagree with that one.
Shawn Michaels. He did it all well.
Because here's the thing. It was like he combined sort of the Sami Zayn is very good at
it. Yeah, he is.
Dolph Ziggler has a cartoonish
selling
ability.
Yeah, he's more like Shawn Michaels was in that Hogan match.
But if
Not quite that over the top, but close.
No, you're right. If you combine sort of Dolph's over-the-top theatrical selling and Sami Zayn's like sort of guttural selling, you have Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, you know, add boatloads of charisma to that.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you know how
and the ability to tell a story.
If you know how great of a seller Shawn Michaels is, watch the Triple H Undertaker Hell in a Cell match, because it's not like he's selling bumps, he's selling story.
Right, yeah.
And it's magnificently done.
Yeah.
Magnificent. Last question from RJ. Hey, friendos, cast a biopic of your lives and the start of going in Raw with current WWE talent. Now, John Cena plays Steve. Not up for debate.
Okay. Yeah.
John Cena plays Steve.
I guess so.
Drifter plays me.
Oh, that's perfect. That's good. Yeah.
Who plays Dan? Because Dan is such an important part of going in Raw.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I would say Pete Dunne gets to play Dan.
Okay.
Because he's British.
And then
I've got an idea,
Mojo,
fellas.
Mojo.
Like, I've got an idea, fellas.
Mojo Rawley would
we'll
play.
Call the podcast
Hilton.
Going in Raw.
That's good. And then Mojo would play Hilton.
Correct.
Who am I forgetting?
Who plays Ulysses? Because he's been in our videos.
True.
Sin Cara. Oh, man, that'd be good.
Okay, that's good.
Is there anybody else in our lives?
Well, yeah, but I'm just trying to think of...
Oh, I'm not talking about like in our going in Raw lives.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. I mean, we can try to cast friendos.
Adam Fella, who's he going to be? I feel like I need to see a roster.
Yeah.
Adam Fella gets to be, you know, lucky Adam Fella, because he's such a good patron. He gets to be played by Aleister Black. Speaking of Adam Fella, he has a video question. Let's see what he has to say.
Yes.
Hey, friendos, your six-star savior, Adam Fella here, returning for another video question. Once again, I am with my morning breakfast in some empty room I found at school, and I have another question about Fock Wrestling, a federation in which I hope to be a competitor in soon. Anyway, the In Your Hoss tournament is already one of the most prolific wrestling tournaments in all of wrestling, real or in video game. So my question is, if Fuck Wrestling is to host another tournament a la In Your Hoss, what kind of tournament would it be? Thanks, friendos. Take care.
Thank you, Adam Fella,
for another video
question. So if we were to have another Friendo Unified Championship wrestling tournament, a la In Your Hoss, Prime Hoss, what would it be?
It'd be the King of Fuck. I've already suggested this to you. King of Fuck, what we would do is we would put the call out, and we would scour for the creations that tickled us the most.
The top 32 creations.
Yeah.
Larger tournament, larger field.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we do that. We'll probably will do that.
At some point, yes.
Vic Holland has a question. Let's see what Vic Holland has to say.
Howdy, friendos. This is the SoCal sociopath, Psycho Vic Holland. And I am living in the afterglow of a world where Vince McMahon named pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire in 2017. My question for you is, say that you're Vince and you're in charge of both naming your biopic that's coming out soon and the July pay-per-view, and you want to name the July pay-per-view after a song with a silly name, what would you name that pay-per-view? And also, what would you name your biopic if you were in charge of that? Thanks. Have fun at Payback.
Thank you, Vic Holland.
Thank you, Vic Holland. All right, so you're Vince. You get to name your own movie. Number one, what would you name your own movie?
It's going to be called Big Balls.
Okay, Big Balls.
Because I love AC/DC.
Okay.
What is your Vince? What is your biopic named?
All right, listen up. Here is what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it. Yeah. I'm going to give it a name. I'm going to give it a name. It's going to be called Vince's Big Dick.
It's not the name of a song, is it?
No, the pay-per-view has to be the name of a song.
No, I thought they were both supposed to be names
they're
of a song.
They're both would be names
That's
of
what
a
I
song?
Thought. That's what I was going. That was the impression I was under.
I'm going to call it Maxwell Silverhammer.
There you go.
I have no idea what that would be. I don't know. It'd be called, Hey, Bulldog.
It's a Beatles song. Yeah, I know. Now we need a pay-per-view name.
Oh, yeah. I thought of this. It'd be called Big Bottom.
Oh, that's good. Let's call them both Big Balls.
Big Bottom. Big Bottom. Talk about mud flaps. Vince McMahon's got them. Oh, Vince.
There you go. Last video question from Alexander Corrente. See what Alexander has to say.
Okay.
How you guys doing? I was listening to Busted Open Radio on SiriusXM because I am a huge mark for wrestling and I want as much content as possible. They were having a good conversation about WrestleMania 30. Which moment was more impactful, Daniel Bryan's title win or the streak being broken? Good arguments for both, but I wanted to get your guys' take on it. Which moment you guys thought was more impactful to the world of professional wrestling? And also, what is your guys' favorite moment in professional wrestling? And for me, Shawn Michaels' retirement. Best match I've ever seen in my entire life and one of the most emotional moments in wrestling that I've ever had. Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you, Alexander.
So, two questions here. One, most impactful moment of WrestleMania 30 was a Daniel Bryan winning, was a Brock beating the streak. Here's what I think.
Streak. Definitely streak.
It is now, yeah. If Daniel Bryan hadn't had to retire, if he hadn't gotten hurt shortly after winning the title, if he didn't have to retire.
I don't know about that.
He could have been, I'm not saying he would have been, but the potential was there for him to join the pantheon of WWE greats. The potential was there. He was the most over wrestler we've had since easily Cena, maybe even going back to Stone Cold. He was super over. Super over. And if he had a good 3, 4, 5 years, a good run, a couple good title defenses, he could have been launched up into close to that stratosphere, if not to it entirely. But that didn't happen. So the answer to this is easily Brock breaking the streak.
Even if what you said happened, I'd still say the streak.
But here's the thing, though. If
you need 30 years of history for context on that.
Oh, one. I know. But let's look at it this way. If things had gone how I'm guessing Vince originally wanted them to, or Brock breaks the streak, you know, they build him up as this monster heel, only for Reigns to beat him next year at WrestleMania. That was, I'm assuming, was the plan. I think Meltzer mentioned as much, or maybe not. Maybe I'm imagining that, but that's always been my supposition. Is that they were going to build Brock up to be this absolute beast, and then Reigns will come along and be the only guy that can beat him. Obviously, it didn't happen because Reigns wasn't getting the audience reception they wanted. They had Seth cash in at WrestleMania win the title.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, they have invested significant capital in making Brock their top draw.
Yeah.
If he had lost to Reigns, I'm saying he wouldn't be a huge draw because he still would be. I don't know if he would have been in that position to be the top draw in the company.
Yeah.
So I think just based on how history's played out, I would say Brock beating the streak. But there's been so many things that could have gone differently that would have changed that. That's just my take.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, look, if 30 years down the line you're able to equate Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania 30, if things played out way differently after
mm-hmm.
the fact,
mm-hmm.
if you're able to equate that with, let's say, Hogan versus Andre.
Or Stone Cold beating HBK at WrestleMania 14.
Yeah, Because that match, because of HBK being kind of checked out and on the way out, that's, you know, there are very few moments. Even Cena doesn't have his, I mean, Cena has plenty of WrestleMania moments. He's got The Rock and he's got other stuff. But quintessential career-defining WrestleMania moments.
Transcendent WrestleMania moments, yes.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's Hogan and Andre because Hogan, you know, body slammed Andre and gave him a leg drop and beat him, and no man had ever done that before.
Well, Andre had been beaten before, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know. You know what I mean.
In WWE storyline, yeah.
I mean, if the Warriors' career had ended up different, Warrior Hogan at Mania,
yeah.
Another quintessential moment. I'm trying to think of other quintessential Mania moments that are on par with that. But Daniel Bryan, I mean, if things had turned out different,
I know.
I think that would have been up there with Hogan Andre. Then, yes, we could have had a debate depending on how big it was. Because if you think about it, Cena didn't have his big heat. Look, he had WrestleMania victories. I was there for 21 when he won his first world title. But that isn't remembered. It was against JBL. It was not a very good match.
It wasn't the main event of the show.
It wasn't even the main event of the show. So that wasn't there. I mean, you can even look at HBK Bret Hart as HBK's big moment.
Yeah.
And so if you do something, because I'm not, I don't disagree that Daniel Bryan could have been on the Cena level necessarily.
I mean, I don't think he would have, you know, done the moves and stuff because that's just not, you know, I don't, that's not of, you know, of importance to him.
Yeah, I know. And that's kind of the thing, though, is that John Cena, let me ask you this. Daniel Bryan, would he have had the appeal that John Cena has to kids? And you have to keep in mind the way he's marketed is such like an action figure. And I'm not sure they ever would have been able to market Daniel Bryan the same way. And I'm not sure he would have had the same impact that Cena has had on the kids, which is really kind of the important thing.
Yeah, that's a huge aspect of it.
It kind of is.
But seeing in such a short amount of time how far the yes chant, you know, went from wrestling.
Could Daniel Bryan have been another Stone Cold? Maybe another Stone Cold, possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
At Raw, I don't know. I think they run this on TV, too. They had, when you were there, they had this video package of I think it was Michigan State, a basketball game, and that entire arena was all chanting yes. He had Hunter Pence. He and Daniel Bryan doing a bit. I think his, I don't know if his, a parade before the Giants won the World Series or after. Yes chants all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, the yes chant transcended wrestling and was a huge part of pop culture for a while.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt and then he had to drop the belt and that kind of, you know, to a certain extent went by the wayside in terms of mainstream popularity, but it's still, what are we, three, 4 years since he had to drop that belt. And obviously every time Daniel Bryan comes up, still yes chants.
I mean,
and
the
every
question
time
is,
the crowd wants anybody to do anything, it's a yes chant. And that's going to stick around for a while.
The big question is, Stone Cold Steve Austin was like the biggest draw ever. And that kind of means a lot to the WWE is how much do you draw?
Yes.
You know, and whether or not Daniel Bryan was ever able to do that, I don't know. I'd like to think so. I mean, look, I think Daniel Bryan was, you know, he was one of my favorite. It was him and CM Punk during that era.
Yep, me too.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think if because that was a hell of a coronation for a championship.
Yeah.
And that was up there with the best championship wins for sure. But you know, you take the Undertaker's career and how you know, you got to give it up to them. They clued in on that streak. You know, it was like around WrestleMania 17 or so. So that would have been
13 years.
Right. Okay, 13 years.
Prior, yeah.
So, you know, the fact that they started really talking about it that early on. Apparently, Randy Orton was supposed to, was in the cards.
Didn't he say no? He didn't want to be the one that ended it?
Oh, that might be.
Well, I thought I heard.
That wouldn't surprise me. I love Randy Orton. I just wish that they would always keep him motivated.
And then he also asks our favorite wrestling moment.
Oh, just favorite wrestling moment of all time?
Yeah. I'm going to say Seth Rollins winning that belt because we were there.
Boy, I don't think I've ever marked out as hard as that, to be honest with you.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah.
To be there when that happened, that was huge.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that because we were there and the anxiety, I mean, like the thrill we got, the adrenaline rush of seeing if he could actually pull it off, something we wanted so bad, so bad. And then everything feeling okay in the world right after that.
Yep.
It was good.
It was good.
Yeah. Thank you for the questions, everybody.
Yes, thank you very much.
And you guys can put your questions on here too, the $20 Patreon mark. Every month.
For video questions, yes.
For video questions. This is if you want like normal questions, a dollar a month. And then you can be on the Patreon thread where we pull most of our questions from. Yeah. Anyways, that's it for Dirt Sheet. We got a fun count out and then something very fun. Another fun thing.
Yes.
This weekend.
Yes. Be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, be sure to subscribe to the channel. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.